The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. There's many things that it seems like they have nothing to do with life, but these sound effects, they will make you smile, they'll make you think, what are these guys doing? The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. I think by tomorrow. And then also, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. We probably won't. That was not a prediction, by the way. We can use some of these life lessons for our faith if we choose to. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Excellent question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about life, about living life as a Christian. There are wonderful moments being a Christian, aren't there? There are times where you pray and the Lord answers you right away, and it's fantastic, and you know you're in touch with the supernatural. And then there's other times where you're knocking on heaven's door, and hello, and the Lord answers, please hold. And you have to hold and hold and hold. Do you ever have that happen to you where you call up a big corporation and then somebody answers the phone? Hi, welcome to IBM. Hold, please. Click. You don't even have a chance to say hello. Well, sometimes you have to hold and be patient in the Lord. Here's the bottom line. In our process, we want to encourage each other to draw closer into the Lord, helping each other get there one step at a time, putting our arms out, not pushing people away, but helping bring people in as we draw one step closer. In this process, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we want you, encourage you to reach out. If you have an opinion, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We don't want it to be all by itself. You can share. Maybe you have a praise report or a prayer request. Maybe you have something you just want to give an update on, something the Lord's working in your life. Maybe it's a trivia response, which we'll get to, of course, starting in the next segment. Can be any of that. If you do have any of that going on, we try to keep it simple. Just reach out to us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone. And that's terrific. That's how we like it. Text us if you want to, 214-210-8483. You are welcome to remain anonymous or include your name in it. It's up to you. 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, that would be me, @hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, that is our website, where we conduct the business of giving and receiving, so to speak. If you have a desire to reach out and help us out, that's a great place to do it. We encourage you to check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. Let me give you a couple of updates. Sometimes you'll hear in our fillers a little bit of information about Julianne and about Easton Scott. So some of those are replays. I want you to know that. So I'm going to give you kind of a current update live. They're doing pretty good. After our visit, they came back home and all the young kids got sick. But that's, I think, just because they haven't been out very much. They're all doing better now. Julianne and Jared are doing better now. But just keep them in prayer. Keep Easton in prayer. He's making more progress than they ever thought he would make already. And so we're interested to see what the Lord will and or won't do, but we remain faithful, diligent, thankful, and careful to be full of faith and not full of fear or doubt. That's number one. Number two, Noelle and I need prayer, not for us particularly. We're just trying to make some good, wise stewardship decisions, and we just need the Lord's wisdom in that. Sometimes we really understand it. Sometimes we don't. I know we're the only Christian couple that goes through, what do you think we should do here? I understand. Keep us in prayer. We would greatly appreciate that. And speaking of which, let me pray for all of you real quickly, the audience, and then we'll get into our teach. Let's pray real quickly. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up everybody who can hear my voice, people that we know and people that we are connected to, and we simply pray that all of our hearts would be more open to the unlimited amount of grace that you've poured into us, that we would just be able to seize more and more grace from you. We'd be able to hang on to that. We'd be able to seize and hang on to more and more peace. And both of those things come from us being able to seize and to hang on to more of you. And that's what we're asking for, more of you in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, ready? All right. Cover that. We're good, right? All right. Do that. You can put the DNA in the fill. We don't have to do that live. I'm trying to give tea a break. Here you go, coming out of 1 Thessalonians, and this will be chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, "For you brothers and sisters became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jewish people." First thing I want to point out about this portion in Thessalonians is Paul is commending the church at Thessalonica because they have followed the same kind of disposition that took place for the churches in Judah. The churches in Judah were getting persecuted. They were getting ridiculed. They were getting mocked. And I want to point out something that's really important, and that is Paul says, you've become imitators of these guys. And that's a good thing. Let me explain that real quickly. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. We've heard that before. It's also the proper approach when that which is being imitated is Christ-like. And so you'll see people in the church, people that are teaching different ministries, people in your lives in all different ranges, different denominations, different groups, and they offer something where you look at that and you think, man, that's really good. I really want to be able to process that and use that. You have permission from the Lord to be imitators of that which is righteous and Christ-like. You don't need to ask anybody's permission. Now, that does not mean you imitate their mannerisms, their personalities. We're talking about their walk with the Lord where something is going on in their life and you're like, I love that. And I want to have that. I want to be like that. I can remember when I was younger, and I mentioned this, I think, about 2 days ago, but I was younger, and this guy, this great, great preacher was like, I love our denomination, da-da-da-da, God does great things, but if God goes over there, I'm going to go over there where God is because I want to be where God is. And I just thought, I want that. I want that in my life. I want that attitude that says, look, I love the church in general. I love many denominations, but I love Jesus more. So I just want to be where he is. It's like if he's down the street doing powerful things, it's like I want to be a part of that. But that's something that I saw in somebody, heard from somebody, and I want to emulate that. So there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I have a variety of preachers that I listen to. You guys know that Dr. Jeffress is one of them. He has got a great grasp on delivery. And he just, the way he communicates a truth, you may not like it. For me, I like that kind of, bing, here's the truth. Bing, here's the application. On the flip side of that, there's many of you that have watched other preachers like Jack Hayford, who's more of the Foursquare style. And Jack has something that a lot of people don't have. He's got extreme intellect. I mean, he's very, very, very knowledgeable. I want that. I think that's cool. But I want that thing that Robert Jeffers has. That's really cool. But I want that thing that my wife has. You know what she has? This thing called sensitivity. Boy, I could use that. She's sensitive to people. You know, when she is caring, she is responsive. And it's a good thing. And what I'm encouraging you to do is emulate. Follow people. It's a great form of flattery, sure, but you don't have to say anything about that. You're just trying to get more and more like the Lord. If somebody comes across your path and they're in ministry or not, I don't care if they're famous or not. It doesn't matter. I don't, if it's in a book, it doesn't matter. If it's just somebody you hear a testimony from, somebody that you're in a prayer group with and you like the way that they connect with God in prayer, emulate that. That's great. Ask God, help me to pray that way. Help me to pray with that passion. When I first became a Christian, I will tell you this, I didn't know how to pray. Do you know that? Like, in the besides some of my good, honest prayers, if we were praying in public, I was always trying to take my cues from people who were, oh, God in heaven, who art thou king of all the universe, you know, that kind of thing. And that's cute, but that really was not me because I didn't like that. And then I saw people praying in groups that just prayed sincerely and just had that kind of like realness to them. And I wanted that. And so I'm encouraging you when Paul says, for your brothers and sisters, you became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus. There's a time where that's a good thing for you, a good thing to add in. If you see believers, Christians, other people, and they're doing something and you're like, man, that's something I want because I want to draw closer to the Lord, then that's a positive thing. Then that's something you want to try and emulate and go forward in that spirit, in that attitude, not in anything else. You don't want to have a covetousness. You want to have a desire to get closer to the Lord. What do we say? One step closer at a time, right? Okay. All right, going to take our break, come back, and then we'll have trivia and a whole bunch of other stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, hopefully my phone has had the demon cast out of it. That's all I can say to you. That's all I'm going to say. It seemed to be working once I got home and threw it in the microwave and then cooked it for... No, I didn't do that. But it seems to be pulling it back together. Hopefully that will be the case. Here is your first trivia question. Who said this? So God, these are people that ask God a question. These are people that asked God a question. Who said to the Lord, who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Okay. Who said, who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Small hint, it was a king. There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, and then you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who said to God, who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? That is the trivia question that is there for you. All right. So most of the time, as you know, I don't do a great deal of politics, right? I'm pretty careful. I try to really, I'm much more kingdom oriented, but there's something I'm going to bring up that is a sin, and I'm going to tie it into politics because it is something that's taking place in our country, and I just want you to be aware of it and the seriousness of it. So we'll leave it there. Trivia questions out there. I'm going to go right into this because it's so intense and so important. So we just came out of this portion in 1 Thessalonians. We covered everything, right? We don't have anything. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for you brothers and sisters became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jewish people, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. They displease God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. So I'd like to take a second to help you understand what a seriousness charge this is, how intense God looks at this, or how this is viewed maybe from the Lord's perspective a little more thoughtfully. Paul, in talking about the church at Thessalonica, says, you guys are doing a great job. You're following the churches in Judea. They've been persecuted for the faith. You're being persecuted for the faith. You know, it's really, you're imitating these guys in such a fantastic fashion. That part's great. Then he brings up what's taking place in regards to that persecution. He says, they displease God and are hostile to everyone. And you think, well, what were they doing? What were they doing? By keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles, to the people at large, the world, the nations, by the way. The word Gentiles is also translated nations. By speaking to the Gentiles, the nations, so that they may be saved. The problem that was taking place is they were being kept from speaking. Now, as you know, like I just said, I'm not into the big political realm, but there's a lot of people in today's society and in culture that are just absolutely losing their minds in regards to the homosexual community and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ group. And the problem there is they have elevated this sin so high that they have diminished the sin of adultery. They diminished the sin of stealing, of lying to such a degree. And what people will say is, no, David, it impacts the culture. But let me help you understand something that impacts the culture much more devastating, and that is Christians being forbidden or restricted from speaking about the gospel. In the two administrations ago, without naming the president, the IRS was weaponized against groups that were nonprofit that put Jesus Christ at the center. What they would say is, oh, that's not really true, Dave. It is true. And the leader of the IRS acknowledged it and paid fines for what they did. So, yes, that's guilt. And 370-plus Christian groups were not given permission to be nonprofits. And then they did two non-Christian groups and said, see, it's even. It's bipartisan. It's like 372 to 2. I don't know. So my point in bringing that up is when we discussed this back in the day when I was in San Diego and this first took place, is the weaponization of the IRS was meant to stop the speaking. And the reason that I'm bringing that up to you is because that is a grave sin. Now, there's many grave sins, but this one is really far up there in the sense that people are being stopped from making proclamation of the gospel so that they can be saved. Just so you can know, the public square free speaking space in England is no longer a public square free speaking space. You have to adhere to certain rules. You cannot have free speech that's unguided because they don't want to offend people. That's the key right there. They don't want the gospel being preached to people because people who say no are offended. And so they're trying to eliminate the freedom of that speech. How serious is this? Look at the next verse. They displease God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the nations, to the Gentiles, so they may be saved. And as a result, they are constantly filling up their sins to the limit. How bad is that? You know how people think, well, there's no limit. Oh, yes, there is. There's a limit. Have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? There was a limit. There was a limit. And God goes, okay, that's it. All right, yeah, really? That's how you're going to do it? Okay, here's how we're going to do it. Boom. See you later, cities. And so there is this idea that, oh, well, God has no limit. Now, for you as a Christian, it's not a matter of a limit towards salvation. That's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing is people just continually putting their fist in the face of God and saying no, 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 and then just continually persecuting and running after the people of God and not letting them speak the gospel freely, trying to shut them up. And that God considers to be the gravest of sins, and I'll explain to you why right here. Because stopping people from proclaiming the gospel stops those people from having the opportunity to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is something God will not put up with. So for all the things that the Christians and the churches are freaking out about, I am telling you, I have said it 10 years ago. I said it not 15 years ago, but let's say 14 years ago. I'm telling you now, and I'll tell it again as long as I can. What they're going to try and do is stop the free speech of the Bible to try and restrict the gospel. Will they succeed? No. They will not succeed. The gospel will prevail because Jesus said the gates of hell will not stop the church, and people that are trying to stop the gospel from advancing are people that are supporting the gates of hell. Just the way it goes. I can't change that. Here's the bottom line. Our responsibility as ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to share, when we have that opportunity, not to be obnoxious, but to share the truth. If people are offended, so be it, because some people think that the gospel is horrible. Other people think the gospel is the most wonderful news ever, of which it is. But this restriction to share it is a sin that God says, you're pushing me to the limit. And if this country, which I love and adore and just think it's the greatest country on earth, shuts down the freedom to speak the gospel, you can count on that being a sin so high that God has a response. And it ain't going to be pretty. You think, wow, look, Dave's like freaking out. It's like, no, I'm not freaking out. In fact, I'm telling you, the gospel will prevail. But God will and has and will evaluate when people are trying to restrict his messaging. So the biggest sin that you're seeing in our country right now is when they are not allowing Christians to speak the truth. There is nothing more irritating since we are to God in the sense that we are all ambassadors of God, and people in the flesh, Satan, and the world are trying to stop the very message of God. Like, ooh, that's just not good. Yeah, right, there you go. That's just not good. Now, speaking of all that, saying all that, kind of putting a little bow on it, Paul's telling them this, but he's telling them in a way to encourage them, saying, look, you're going through a tough time. It's really horrible. They're hard on you. They're persecuting you. And these people are pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And God's going to go, ding, 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 time's up. And then when that happens, it's like, yeah, I don't mean this rudely. It's not my problem. I'm saying that as nice as possible. It's not my issue. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the middle one of our DNA. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, not your delivery, not your presentation, not whether you use graphics or whether you do a Romans road or a Jack Chick track or anything else. The gospel itself is the power of God, and there should be no shame and no reservation in ever sharing or declaring. Does that make sense? Okay. Wow. Dave's losing his mind. Not yet, but getting closer. The trivia answer, who said, who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? That was a king, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, that was Solomon, who said, who can judge all these people? Who can do this? This is beyond me. I need your help. That's when he was doing really good. That's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. There you go. All right, folks, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks a lot for all the blessings.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus 2 dogs named Levi and Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ
died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.